Well, a pleasant morning to each of you. We're delighted we have this opportunity to study the Word of God together. Thankful for your presence. If you're visiting with us, we want you to know we consider you an honored guest. Encourage you to take your Bible and study with us. We always encourage people to open their Bible and to accept the things that God has said. In a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song that's been suggested. And if you've never put Christ on in baptism, all things have been made ready where you can be baptized this morning upon your faith in Christ. Have every sin washed away by the blood of the Lamb. Or if you need to be restored to Christ in this church, we'd be glad to pray with and for you that your sins be forgiven. If you take your Bible, turn with me to the book of Exodus and the second chapter. I want to read two verses to get the thought for our study, and those are verses 11 and 12. Now it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. You know, when one thinks of a murderer, we often look upon one with indignation like we would be above such a sin, that is a sin that we would or could not commit. However, Moses was identified as the meekest man to live in the book of Numbers and the 12th chapter and about verse 3. Meekness means strength under control. And yet that man shows us that in a fit of anger we can do something that we never thought we would do. And I want to observe several times that Moses allowed his temper to flare and then make application to our lives. The first thing I want to put into our heart is in the book of Exodus and the second chapter. When Moses killed the Egyptian, you see a murderous anger. And I want you to note several things with me. First of all, this was not just a moment of rage in the heart of Moses. Notice, if you will, that Moses had enough of his senses to look around and to see if anyone was watching his actions. And when one has that much wit about them, they're not acting out of pure rage. He looked this way, he looked that way to make sure and to observe that no one could see what he was about to do. Obviously, this was more than a mild irritation, and it was a moment of genuine anger and fury, but Moses acted with a sense of knowing what he was doing. He allowed his anger to rule over him instead of ruling over his anger. And take note that Moses took vengeance into his own hands. And after this action, he would have to flee Egypt. Though he was Pharaoh's daughter's son, he would have to leave the land of Egypt, and you'll find that he had to escape, and he lived in the wilderness for 40 years tending the sheep. Now, he learned many great lessons in that land, but I'll tell you, he still had a problem with his temper flaring up. But then if you take your Bible, look in the book of Exodus and the 11th chapter. And in Exodus chapter 11, you'll recall that at this particular time, Moses was told to go before Pharaoh again to tell the people, to tell Pharaoh to let his people go. Now then in Exodus 11, Moses came and warned him what would have happened. And Pharaoh would not heed. And notice verse 8. In verse 8, the Bible says at the latter part that Moses went out from Pharaoh in great anger. Now notice verse 9. But the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh will not heed you, so that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. Now then, I want you to think that God had sent Moses to Pharaoh with the message to let his people go. And God in verse 1 tells Moses that after this last plague, Pharaoh will send the people out and free them. However, in this exchange with Pharaoh, we see Moses become hot with anger. Look at that in verse 8. He left in anger. Now, I want you to stop for just a moment and think about it. This was an unnecessary time because God had instructed him to tell Pharaoh. His job was to give God's message to that man, not to make Pharaoh obey. Moses exceeded what God instructed him to do. He was not content with just giving the message. He became furious when Pharaoh refused to obey. And you can look at Moses and you see his anger, you see his wrath, you see his fury as he walks out of Pharaoh's palace. Now, God had already told Moses what he was going to do, and it was only Moses' job to warn Pharaoh, to teach and to instruct, but he became angry with Pharaoh, and he left the palace enraged. Now, notice with me a third time we see the anger of Moses aroused. Take your Bible and look, and you will, in the book of Exodus in the 32nd chapter. And no doubt, this time, Moses had a right to be angry. Notice that in Exodus 32, Moses had gone up on the mountain to receive the law. So here he is at Mount Sinai, and he had gone to the top of the mountain, and God had come down to give the law at that particular time. But notice, while Moses is on the mountain, the people were down below. They begin to wonder what happened to Moses. And in his absence, they decided to build a golden calf and worship it. Now, Moses descended the mountain, and he found the Israelites engaged in idolatry. And if you have your Bible, in Exodus 32, notice that when he saw that, it said that his anger became hot in verse 19, and he cast the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. Then he took the calf which they had made, burned it in the fire, and ground it in powder, and he scattered it on the water, and made the children of Israel drink it. Now, I'll tell you one thing, he might have been right in doing that in verse 20, but one thing he did he shouldn't have done was cast down the tablets of stone. Notice, if you will, that was given to him by God. Go back to Exodus 31. And when you look in Exodus 31, notice that the Bible says that at this time, God had given them to him. Look at verse 18. And when he'd made an end of speaking with him on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. Now, just for a moment, stop and think about what Moses threw down, something that was written with the hand of God, the finger of God. He just cast down something that the God of heaven had written on stone. But notice, if you will, in your Bible, when Moses goes back up to get the law the second time, look in Exodus 34. In Exodus 34:1, notice this time the Lord doesn't just give him the stones, but he says to him, cut two tablets of stone like the first ones, and I will write on these tablets the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke. In other words, Moses, this time you get the stone. This time you cut it. This time you go and get it. Now, I'll write the law again, but I want you to be reminded, you broke the tablets of stone. I've often thought about that, my friend. In a moment of rage, he did something destructive. But then if you take your Bible, look, if you will, in the book of Numbers for just a moment. And when you come to the book of Numbers and the 20th chapter, you read the first five verses and you'll find that the people are complaining. They're complaining because they have no water. They're complaining because they've been brought up out of Egypt. They said it would have been better to have died with their forefathers. And here they are just complaining, complaining, complaining. And no doubt this grated on the nerves of Moses. Every time he turned around, all the people did was complain. There's some people like that. That all they do is complain, complain, complain. And notice at this time that Moses is called with Aaron from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle, and they fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them in verse 6. And notice what God says to him in verse 8. Take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, and gather the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water from them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. So far, so good. But look at verse 10. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock?" Then in verse 11, then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod. And notice, water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. But look at verse 12 carefully. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them." Now, notice the people are complaining. And no doubt this had come so far that Moses is frustrated. But God tells him, "Speak to the rock." Now notice what he does. He strikes the rock. And notice what else he does. "Shall we give you water?" He doesn't give God glory. And I want you to understand, he had been given clear instruction. Take the rock, speak to the rock, get out of the way, and let the people see the glory of God. Instead, Moses strikes the rock and says, "Shall we give you water?" Now, I want you to think about the rebellious anger. Moses looked at the complaining people, and instead of obeying God, he strikes the rock and does not give God glory. In his anger, he forgot to glorify the God of heaven. And I'll tell you, my friend, you can see rebellious anger. I want to take that. I want to make three or four thoughts for us in the lesson yours. The first thing I want us to think about is I realize there are different levels of anger. I understand that many times we may have a mild irritation, but that can go all the way up to where we are in a rage and our temper has flared and we have become hot with anger. But I'll tell you something that we need to remember. We need to remember that God knows our hearts and our weaknesses, and that we can't excuse just losing our temper and flying off the handle and saying, "Well, that's just the way I am." We're to put away that kind of action. When we put on the new man, we're to put away the old man and his actions. Look in the book of Ephesians and the 4th chapter. In Ephesians 4, look at verse 31 carefully, and notice what Paul said when he said, "Let all bitterness, wrath and anger, clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Now, look at that statement carefully. He said, in the new man, we control our temper. Not the other way around. We don't allow our temper to control us. But then think about something else. There's a right way to be angry. There is a right way to be angry. Jesus, in Luke 19, you remember, goes into the temple and he sees that they are dishonoring God, and he drives out the money changers and he turns over their tables. We'll say, "Well, that is not right." Well, no, my friend, that was righteous indignation because they were robbing God of his glory. Notice, if you will, how we are to be angry. Not in rebellion or without thought, but we think before we act. Take your Bible back to Ephesians 4 and notice again what Paul said before he said put away. He says in verse 26, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil." So when I'm angry, one thing I know that I have to control it unless it controls me. I can be angry, but I do not sin. Take your Bible and go to the book of James for just a moment and look at what he says in James 1:19. "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." We have to stop and think before we act. If we act without thinking, then we're going to say something or do something that can be a sin. And we can act in such an ungodly manner. And I want us to realize, my friend, that God has told us to be people who control self. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5. And the only way we do that is by studying and praying and practicing self-control. And sometimes it takes practice, practice, practice. And before I speak, I stop and think. I don't just spout out everything I'm thinking. I just don't fly off the handle. But I stop and consider, am I robbing God of His glory because of my anger? One last thing, and the lesson's yours. When we put things on Facebook or social media, we need to make sure that we are not just spouting out angry words. You know, we can disagree without being disagreeable on certain things. And when it comes to matters of doctrine, we stand. But on some things, we yield. And I've known of churches right now who are about to split over some things that are a matter of judgment. And I'll tell you, my friend, Paul condemns that. Paul said, don't offend your brother. Don't use your liberty to cause your brother to stumble. And I'll tell you what I believe. I believe that we need to be people that instead of growing angry and putting up hateful things, that we be a good example to people and we let our light shine. You know, preachers need to be careful about it. Elders need to be careful about it. We all need to be sure that we learn to control our tongue, temper, and conduct. I'll never forget Brother Robert Jackson taking me aside one time when I was preaching angry. And he said, son, you can't preach it when you're mad. And I said, that's when I want to preach it. And he said, I understand. He said, but you can't do it with the right attitude. You can't, I can't. Let's put that aside and preach something else. And I appreciated that. Years ago, Robert Turner was headed to a congregation that was dealing with the institutional battle, and it was raging hot. And he was preparing himself to go in, and as he walked in the door and he's putting up his coat, a fella came up to him, an old man, put his arm around him and said, Brother Turner, give him heaven. And you know, my friend, that's what we need to learn. It's not about a matter of skin and hides, it's a matter of touching hearts. And may God help us to control our tongue, temper, and conduct. If you're here this morning and you need to be a child of God, we would that you would take off the old man, put on the new man, and that we all begin to practice self-control and control our temper. And that is our prayer as together we stand and sing.